WDIY presents Lehigh Valley Art Salon, showcasing the arts in every form.
Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Sheila White. Today, we will be talking about a brand new curriculum coming from the Bel Canto Youth Chorus of the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. Founded in 1993, the Bel Canto Youth Chorus is comprised of auditioned troubled singers from the greater Lehigh Valley region in southeastern Pennsylvania. Noted for its innovative artistic programs it presents, the choir has developed an international reputation for performing diversified choral repertoire at the highest standard of musical excellence and style. In 2018, Bel Canto merged with the Bach Choir of Bethlehem to expand its reach into the Lehigh Valley. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. Joining me by phone is Dr. Joy Hirakawa, the founder and artistic director of the Bel Canto Youth Chorus of the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. Welcome, Joy.
It's nice to be with you, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Let's start our conversation with a reflection of what the Bel Canto program looks like when we're not in a pandemic. What would the concert choir be doing if they could rehearse in person today?
Well, it's certainly a lot different than what we're doing right now. We have two ensembles, our concert choir and a preparatory chorus. The concert choir is singers roughly in 6th to 12th grade, and we do more advanced repertoire. Typically, we would be meeting every week for rehearsals in person and some Saturday in-person practices and a full calendar of performances. And we are quite busy, usually almost once a month, doing something. Our preparatory chorus is singers in roughly 2nd to 5th grade, and they would also be rehearsing once a month in person and be preparing for a number of concerts, although they don't do as much repertoire, as it's not quite the same complexity as concert choir, but our standards are still the same. We have pretty jam-packed practices with a lot of emphasis on vocal technique, musicianship, and ensemble. So they're quite busy, and our in-person rehearsing would be going full steam ahead at this point.
But since the pandemic shut down regular activities back in March of 2020, how has COVID-19 safety protocols changed your program now?
Well, like everyone in the choral world, we were, of course, stunned and shocked last spring when everything shut down, especially for singing, because there was all this research pointing to the fact that it was one of the riskiest things you could do. When we sing, we are actively using our breath to project sound. So this pretty much crushed a lot of the activity that was going on in music, in choral music especially. So everything moved to a virtual instruction unless we were able to rehearse outdoors, distanced, and with masks. It's kind of hard to reflect back now to, in comparison to where we are today, to where we were last spring, because things are actually significantly more risky with the levels, the current levels of COVID. But we were being very, very careful last spring, and we were able to rehearse outdoors, and we did some distance. We were socially distanced, and we all wore masks, and were very careful. And at the end, we were able to record and do a virtual performance last spring, and our winter concert was done in the same way, recording individuals and putting together a virtual performance. We did have some recording in person, but it was, again, very carefully done, very carefully following COVID protocols so that everybody was safe. Our summer program, our Choral Village program, took a complete new turn, though, because, again, we had to be distanced and we couldn't be together in person. The program typically is a week-long intensive program that focuses on using music as a vehicle to learn greater empathy and understanding of others. But that really didn't make sense in the context of what was happening last summer. So instead, we focused on giving our youth an opportunity to be more introspective and reflect and process and articulate how they were feeling about the events of last spring, what with the COVID lockdown, the isolation they were experiencing, the loss of all of those celebratory things that happened at the end of the year, particularly for our seniors and high school students. So the Choral Village program gave them instead some tools to creatively express how they were feeling, and the projects that they created were just amazing, amazing creative projects. So we were very pleased with how that came out. Then as the summer went on and it was clear that we had to make decisions about the fall and how we were going to plan for responding to and safely continuing to sing, it was a huge debate for everyone how to manage the start of the new season and would it be safe to sing again. The other thing that affected how we were thinking about what we were going to do was all of the events last summer regarding social inequity and social justice. And so that became a catalyst for a focus on a new curriculum for the choir that guided our summer preseason camp and actually for the season for the entire year and what we plan to do this year.
So let me just back up a little bit and talk about mm-hmm. the virtual concerts. In the spring, I understand that was a partnership also with there were a few songs that were done with Craig Thatcher on that?
Yes, yes. We were initially going to be hosting a fundraiser, and Craig was going to be our featured artist, but because we couldn't meet in person, Craig agreed to do to a couple of songs with us that were just delightful, and we did backup tracks on Here Comes the Sun, which was a lot of fun, and it was really wonderful to work with him on that project. I'm particularly excited because he's going to be working again with us this year, too.
Well, that's fantastic. And I also wanted to talk a little bit about the mask singing. Just a little bit of information for our listeners. How does that affect how the kids are learning how to sing? You can't see their mouths. So how do you connect with them and knowing that they're doing proper technique?
Well, that is the challenge. While they're singing with masks, they have to, while we're in person, you have to be wearing the mask. We do have some masks, and there are singer's masks that help to frame the mask itself away from the mouth so that you have a little more freedom of movement and are able to articulate a little bit better. I will say it's a real challenge, and we've had more success in teaching the actual vocal technique part of it through our virtual meetings online. As we've been rehearsing online, we have not only group, you know, it's hard to rehearse online because if everyone is singing, you have to be muted, and whoever's instructing, meaning myself, I cannot have their sound coming back because of the time delay in the sound. So I can't actually hear them unless I do individual appointments with them. And so that's what we are doing to really focus on working on the vocal technique, which is one-on-one vocal instruction with our vocal coach, Gail Grossman, and also one-on-one time with me where I can work very specifically and directly with each chorister individually. So there really isn't any other way to address that other than to work individually, given the challenges with the technology at this point.
Yes, I can imagine that many times when they're singing in person with the masks on, it sounds like a chorus of Charlie Brown Teachers. Wah, 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 wah.
There is a little bit of that. And the diction has to be to an extreme level because it's not what people are used to doing, because that is the only way the consonants and the articulation of the words cut through the mask is to over-articulate. So it's a lot of extra work for the singers.
Well, a couple of minutes ago, Joy, you were talking about the racial justice themes of the summer and how that was moving toward a particular direction for what you were planning on with the curriculum this fall, past fall and this coming spring. By the way, listeners, we're talking with Dr. Joy Hirakawa, who is the artistic director and founder of the Bel Canto Youth Chorus of the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. Can you tell us a little bit more about the spark that led to that curriculum and more specifically the kinds of activities that were then launched in your precursor summer camp?
Yes, I'm so excited about this. It really came from a random YouTube video that I happened upon last summer, that was a family of siblings singing this wonderful a cappella arrangement in four parts of the song Stand Up that came from the movie Harriet. That came out last summer and is a wonderful movie and tells Harriet Tubman's story. So the family that was in this video had included images along with their recording of the song of the protests against inequity last summer. And it just made such an effective connection between our current events today and the historical roots that have led to where we are today. So this really inspired me a lot. And just, a shout out if you're going to be watching the, or if you did watch today the MLK Observance and Bethlehem our video, which uses images from our local area, was included in that commemoration today, which I'm very excited about. And in any case, I found this music very inspiring, and the idea of studying the Underground Railroad and the music of that time and how we might be able to make those connections for our singers and for our youth just was very exciting to me. So the movie tells the story about Harriet Tubman growing up on the eastern shore of Maryland, how she escaped and comes to Philadelphia, where she meets up with and works with the abolitionist movement. So I started digging into our local connections with the Underground Railroad and very quickly found that our area played a really significant role. And so that really got me going. And especially when I found out that there were actual stops right in our backyard, buildings I've gone by my entire life that I never knew were even locations where people traveling on the Underground Railroad actually stopped. If any of you travel south towards Telford and Lansdale, that area, the Sun Inn on Allentown Road was a stop. In Quakertown, the Richard Moore House, just a block south of the Richland Meeting House on Main Street, is another stop. That was just given a historical plaque last fall. So we have these very deep connections. The route actually went right up through the Lehigh Valley and through Bethlehem and Allentown. So this is a really unique opportunity to connect time and place and history right here in our backyard.
We're going to go a little bit deeper into this, but for now, we've got to take a short break. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Sheila White, and we're having a wonderful conversation with Dr. Joy Hirakawa, Artistic Director and Founder of the Bel Canto Youth Chorus of the Bach Choir of Bethlehem.
This is WDIY Executive Director Greg Caponia wishing everyone a Happy New Year and thanks for your continued support as we proudly begin our 26th year serving the Lehigh Valley community. As we enter 2021, we are aware of the challenges facing small businesses working to retain their customer base while reaching out to new customers. If you run a small business, let us help you get the word out. For the next 4 months, we will be offering affordable underwriting messages geared to small business. For information, please send an email to greg@wdiy.org. Thank you.
And welcome back to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Sheila White, and having a wonderful conversation with Dr. Joy Hirakawa, Artistic Director and Founder of the Bel Canto Youth Chorus of the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. Dr. H., we were talking before the break about the Underground Railroad and its inspiration for the programming that you're doing this year. Can you tell us a little bit more about how do you translate space and time and location and issue to music?
Well, that's a complicated kind of thing. As I did more research over the course of the summer, and I was reading a lot about the experience of enslaved Africans, the slave trade, the Underground Railroad, the more I read, the more I came to understand that this is a story of people with strength, dignity, a survival, endurance, resilience, bravery, hope. And these are all qualities to which we can aspire. So that's the lens I've used to kind of guide things, because those are qualities that we all need today in our contemporary society. And I think the more we understand about our history, the more we are able to understand how it is we got to where we are today. And so the repertoire really tells the story, and the repertoire is what really connects everything. The repertoire I picked is all music from the African American tradition or by African American composers and arrangers. And I picked the repertoire to tell, for our spring program, to tell the story of escape to freedom on the Underground Railroad, primarily using spirituals, but also some contemporary artists. So it's divided into four sections. Enslavement and survival is one, and then a way out, focusing on resilience and hope, and then the third section being the actual journey that requires bravery and strength, and finally arriving in the promised land where people have their dignity restored. So how does it tie in? Each of these sections is going to start with a Bach chorale and a reading, followed by several spirituals or contemporary compositions. And then the program's bookended with an inspirational song to help lift the spirit. So the connection is the readings are going to be contemporary. They're not going to be from the slave experience or from the 19th century. They are going to be contemporary because so many of the issues and so many of these qualities are they're still ongoing. And so the focus of each section will be tied to current events relative to racial inequity and social justice by using contemporary authors or poems or writings. And we are now in the process of collecting those and connecting with our friends in the African-American community in particular to help us select the best writings that we want to have read during those little sections.
Bel Canto has developed a reputation for this kind of very intense programming. And a couple years ago, you did a program focused on the themes from Anne Frank.
Anne Frank was our own production.
Your own production. Mm-hmm. So when you come to such heavy themes, I mean, these are pretty adults. I mean, many adults can't wrap their heads around how to process this out. How does a choral music director approach these incredibly heavy topics in age-appropriate mm-hmm. lesson planning? You were telling us mm-hmm. in the first section that you've got second graders. So mm-hmm. how does one do that?
Well, you know, you obviously don't address the significant brutality of slavery with second graders. That, I mean, you just can't. But little children, elementary age children, do understand unfairness. They get that. And they can understand being treated poorly. You don't have to go into the graphic details. Older youth who may have a more mature understanding of the world, you would tailor the instruction differently. The key for me is you read and you prepare and you research to find the best way in. You look at the text of the music, the context of the music. You find common ground with something that is understandable to a particular age group, and you find a way of drawing connections and connecting the dots for them and let them figure it out. You don't have to project and show strong images to young people who aren't ready for it yet. You prepare them. And the other thing we are doing is talking with our parents and letting them know that there are a lot of resources for them to have these difficult discussions with their children. That is, every time I've had to address one of these heavy kind of subjects, and you're correct, I do find that music is a way in to address and start a conversation about these difficult subjects that are hard for, as I say, adults to wrap their heads around. Music is a way in. It is a safe way in because they can sing the words, they can process, and they know what music helps them to feel and experience. And it may be that they don't quite get it all right at the time, but later on, as they grow and mature, I have had many times when former choristers have said to me how meaningful and how deep that has an experience singing a particular text has had in their thinking later on in life. So you don't always know the impact you have right away. But I do think it's important very much to connect with our families. We are providing resources so that if a child comes home and has a question for a parent, they're not surprised, mm-hmm. and they are prepared to have a discussion in a way that is appropriate for their family. I don't claim to want to usurp any parental responsibilities here, but I think it is important to encourage our youth to think about these things, and they want to know. I find this over and over that they recognize, our youth recognizes that there are issues that are complicated, that adults are struggling with, and rather than shy away from it, they're curious, they want to know, and they want to understand. So if we can find a way to help them begin that journey through musical means, then let's do it.
Yeah. We have just a few minutes left in our conversation, but I wanted you to address very briefly, you had mentioned Bach chorales. How do you connect Johann Sebastian Bach to the enslaved movement music? How does that happen?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, slavery existed in Bach's time. Inequity existed in Bach's time. Human suffering is not anything new. Enduring difficult times is not new. Having hope and wanting for a better future is nothing new. And all of these messages have been expressed in Bach's music in some way, shape, or form. You don't have to go very far to see that message or hear that message in his music. So what he captures is reflective and very directly ties to these kind of categories that we broken down to, and these qualities that we're focusing on in the story we're telling.
That's
and so
beautiful.
That's the connection.
That's just beautiful. I also wanted you to have a moment to talk about your vision for community engagement. You had mentioned earlier about working with representatives of the African-American community in our area. But mm-hmm. on a broader scale, what is your vision for community engagement as this curriculum evolves throughout the spring?
Mm. Well, I would love to have more connection with our local schools, and if there are teachers who are interested in knowing more about what we're doing and how we're approaching the story of the Underground Railroad and the music that connects to it, I would welcome any teachers who might happen to hear the story to get in touch with us about that. I have actually been in touch with a couple of our local music education, choral music education teachers, and we are in the process of figuring out what's the best way to make some connections with their singers and with this curriculum. So it's an evolving process, and I'm really excited about some opportunities that we might be able to come up with collaboratively.
And I understand that you're reaching out with other organizations to just share information, such as the public library or you know, other arts organizations to connect with more artists?
Yes, we are working on a program with a library. We're reaching out to a couple of other artists in the area who will be helping us with a video. We hope that this program, because the reality of whether or not we're going to be able to actually perform live is questionable, so we are focusing on creating a video of this program that would include images and input from other artists in our Lehigh Valley region that would result in a nice video that would really tell the story through music.
It sounds like it would be rather timeless as well, that it's not just,
you know,
for this spring.
Yes, we're hoping that the video will be able to make it more available more broadly, and certainly music educators who are interested in this curriculum, it would be a simple thing to take this and adapt it for their unique situation, finding the correct music that would be applicable for their ensemble. And hopefully we're going to get that written up and available over the summer.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. How can listeners find out more about the Bell Canto Youth Chorus? Can parents who may be listening still get their kids involved if they're interested in where you're going this spring?
Oh, absolutely. I would encourage them to get in touch right away because we are already starting our rehearsals and working on things. You know, it is safe because we're virtual. They need to go to the Bach Choir website. It would be bach.org/belcanto, and you'll find all the information that you need to get in touch with us there. Again, we welcome new singers, particularly right now as we're at the beginning of our learning. So please get in touch with us.
Now, is there an age limit to the singers that you would be able to incorporate into the program this spring?
At this point, no. You know, we do have an audition process. It's very informal. I need to have a one-on-one time with the child so I can ascertain musicianship level, what their voice is like, that sort of thing. But singers in grades 3 through up into high school, if they're interested, they should get in touch with us. And we'd love to have more singers as part of this.
Well, Dr. Joy Hirakawa, I am so glad that we had a chance to talk about this curriculum, this very timely opportunity for youth to just dig in and start questioning things and just being able to process for so many reasons. But let's take advantage of the quarantine in this way. Listeners, this has been Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Sheila White. If you're interested in learning more about the Bel Canto Youth Chorus, again, the website is bach.org, that's bach.org/belcanto, spelled B-E-L-C-A-N-T-O. Thanks so much. Have a great night.